Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Haley Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Try it now for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. On this episode of The Last Trip, we're speaking with Carrie and Dale McGinnis, whose family vacation to the Dominican Republic ended in tragedy. In 2011, they planned a trip to Punta Cana, a rare chance for the whole family to travel together. Carrie, her husband Dale, their youngest son Jordan, Carrie's brother and his girlfriend, and Carrie's mother, whose health was beginning to decline. They booked 10 days at a beachfront resort. Sun, warm weather, and time together as a family. At first, everything was exactly what they hoped for. Days by the pool, exploring the resort, and meeting other travelers. Jordan quickly made friends. He was outgoing, well-liked, and enjoying the trip. But late one night, everything changed. Carrie was asleep in her room when her husband knocked on the door. The resort had called. There had been an accident involving Jordan. When they arrived at the resort clinic, Carrie saw her son lying on a table, motionless. Moments later, he was rushed into an ambulance as medics tried to revive him. But at the hospital, doctors delivered the news no parent should ever hear. Jordan Morrison was dead. What began as a family vacation quickly turned into a homicide investigation. The vacation that was meant to be a beautiful family trip became something else entirely. Today, Carrie and Dale are here to talk about who Jordan was, what happened that night in Punta Cana, and the long fight they endured searching for justice. Carrie, Dale, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Before we talk about what happened, can you take us back to the beginning of the trip? What made your family decide to take this vacation and what were your thoughts behind it?
It was just kind of like a passing by conversation one time with my brother and my mother. She wasn't well. And we knew it was going to be her last trip. So we decided to all get together and take a trip and went from there. So we booked it and off we went.
What made you decide to go there?
My brother has traveled there before to Punta Cana area to the resorts, and we've never been on a family vacation that far, so we were looking forward to this. So yeah, we jumped in and we made the reservations and it went from there.
What were your first impressions when you arrived? What did you think of the country, of the town, of the resort?
We thought it was real interesting, like especially getting to the airport and how it works there and what kind of an airport it was out in the open and the transportation to the resort. And then when we got to the resort, we got booked in our rooms. Lots of sun, heat, pools, people. It was really interesting for us because it was our first time.
Family resort.
Yeah.
And what were those first few days like? Were you at the pool a lot? Were you going on excursions? Bring us back to that time.
We enjoyed the pool. That's what we did the first few days, just kind of sat around the pool. Then ate lots because it was all inclusive. So we'd go for lunch together, go back, go to the pool, you know, and then go back to our rooms and get changed and have a nap and then go for supper. So yeah, it was really nice.
Sounds very relaxing.
Yeah, it was.
What was it like walking around the property and the resort? Did you feel safe, comfortable?
Yeah, we did. There was lots of security, lots of staff walking around. When we went for dinner, they were really friendly, helpful. We didn't have any fears of, we felt like, you know, you could walk by yourself and get back and forth and everything was cool that way.
Were you spending any time off of the resort or just sticking to the resort?
We had stuck to the resort. My brother and his girlfriend booked a few excursions because they were aware of some of them. They'd been on them before. And we didn't ourselves, personally, Dale and myself didn't go because I stayed back with my mom. But our son went, Jordan. He went with them on a few excursions.
Seeing the dolphins.
Yeah. He went to a boat excursion and then go see the dolphins.
Had Jordan traveled much before?
No, this was his first time out of the country with us. Yeah, it was all our first time trip.
Before we talk about that night, I really want people to get to know Jordan. Can you tell us about him as a person? What was he like as a kid? Kind of walk us through your love for Jordan.
Jordan was a really caring person.
Jordan was a very caring person towards other people. He got along well with them, and he was interesting in making new friends. That was Jordan. He was kind, considerate of others, and I was anxious to meet new friends and get to know them and hang out with them, both male and female. That was Jordan. He was just a nice person all the way around and got along with just about everybody.
He was a social butterfly, I guess you could say.
Sounds like it. What were some of the things he loved, hobbies or things he liked doing?
He didn't have a lot of hobbies. He kind of struggled with some things in social and in school. He had some learning disabilities there, I guess we could say, that were mild, but he just enjoyed more or less being with people, being with friends and accepted by friends. That was mostly his thought at this time right now, going through life, Just being accepted, I think, and liked.
How did he fit into the family dynamic?
He fitted in really well, actually. People kind of started to understand what he liked or didn't like. He got overwhelmed a lot when it was busy with family, but otherwise, everybody liked him. He loved the kids, the younger kids in the family.
Yeah, he did.
But it was hard for him day by day, but we managed, and he was starting to grow into a nice young man.
As he got older, he gained more information, and he coped a lot better in life. As he got in his teens, he was able to converse himself with other people better and get along better. That was how it was with him,
Just growing up and learning social things. We've all been there.
Yeah, social skills was the biggest thing for him.
Yeah, that's right.
But when he would get out with other people, he would just fall right in like he had no social issues, you know, that nobody would even pick up on it because he was so well-mannered and behaved that if I told anybody, they would kind of, really? Like, you know, he is such a polite young man. So you're proud of him that way.
What stage of life was he in at that time? What were his hopes for the future and plans?
Well, he wanted to eventually join the armed forces. That was his goal at one time before he left.
He was just getting past those teenage hormones and getting into being a young man at 19. I think he was just starting to discover himself and what he could do or what he couldn't do in life.
And when you look back now, what are the memories that stand out the most when you think about Jordan?
I think for his kindness and consideration towards others and us as well. He loved the family, to be around them, to participate in family matters and his interest in family and friends. Everything was new to him as going from a teenager into an adult. He was new to all it and trying to fit in with everyone and his friends especially.
And I know when we booked this trip, it was like every day, you know, he talked about it. All his friends knew about it. He looked up about where we were going, and it was the prime thing of his life for the month and a half before we had went. So it was like he was on, really looking forward to it. Yeah.
I can't imagine how hard it is to do an interview like this and to talk about Jordan and bring up all these memories. What would you want people to most know about who Jordan was?
He was a very kind person.
Loved the kids.
Yeah. He was just starting life, really, before we lost him.
He just loved everybody. He loved little kids. And when he was skateboarding and that, he would teach them how to skateboard. And he always liked to be around smaller kids and that and to tell them things and to talk to them.
Yeah, he always gave his clothes or new shoes away to people that couldn't afford them. Yeah. He'd come home without them.
And he was very considerate that way.
Yeah. He sometimes would follow other kids just to be liked. And sometimes we had to say, you know, Jordan, you have to think twice because sometimes those people aren't always the best people. But we managed, yeah.
He sounds like an absolutely amazing young man.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he fit in with the family well, and he liked to go to church with the rest of the kids and that, and fit in that way as well. He liked to be around the kids in the neighborhood and that, and to teach them some of the things he knew with that, like the skateboarding and that, and to dress with the times. And yeah, he was just an overall nice person to everybody he met. He was very polite. We've been told that he's a very polite person all his life, and yeah, we were proud of him that way. Very proud.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. It's destroying athlete, creator, and YouTube maxer. YouTube Premium enhances how I use YouTube with awesome features like offline downloads so I can download my favorite training videos before I hit the gym. So no Wi-Fi doesn't turn leg day into loading day. Plus, I get ad-free videos, background play, and so much more. YouTube Premium is like YouTube got some extra gains. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Haley Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. So try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime. That's a mouthful.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Can you walk us through the trip, the timeline of what happened? I think at one point, Jordan wasn't feeling well. He went to the resort clinic. Can you walk us through what was going on with his health during those days?
Yeah, we had booked the trip for, it was a 10-day trip. And we were already into the first week and then into the second, I guess it would be the seventh or eighth day. He wasn't feeling well and he ended up going to the clinic. I brought him and he had tonsillitis. And so they put him on medication. Now he had tonsillitis a few months before we left. So he was probably eventually going to have his tonsils out. So we managed to get the medication going and, you know, he wasn't feeling well, but it sure didn't stop him from, you know, he'd sleep in a little bit longer and stuff and come back for rest. But he was all over that resort all day, all night. We hardly ever seen him. He'd just check in to make sure we were still there. We'd meet up for lunch or dinners. He met a lot of people there, a group older, younger. And then there was a couple older guys that would kind of watch over this group of young people. But we didn't really get to see a lot of them. He was
at the disco.
Yeah, went to the disco at night on the resort. So it didn't slow him down. But he wasn't feeling well, but yeah, it didn't stop him.
It sounds like he was still doing what he always does, making friends, meeting new people. What do you remember most about his time being spent at the resort with these new friends that he was making?
We didn't know a lot.
Yeah.
Because we were day people and he was the night person with the disco at the time. But he did mention he met some new friends from Ontario and from around this area and a couple of guys from Toronto that were older, but he got chatting with them too, and they took a liking to him, and he just kind of wanted to fit in with everybody at the disco and that, and feel it out, and just spend some quality time with people and meeting new people.
He didn't tell us a whole lot.
No, he kind of kept it quiet to himself.
Yeah.
He did mention a few things, but yes, he didn't want us to be spying on him for one thing.
Yeah, yeah, and no fear. He was just everywhere.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
He got along with everybody at the disco and that most of the time. But
he sounds like a typical teenager, typical teenage boy.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, for sure.
You said that he met some friends that were also Canadian. Do you think that that made him feel a little bit safer about hanging out with them?
Yeah, I think it gave him more of a closer connection with them because they were from closer to home kind of thing. So they could share a lot more that would be in common between them all. But after we found pictures on his camera and stuff of him with the resort staff, and he took pictures of waiters, and they were all, you know, together. And so, yeah, I don't know. He didn't tell us a whole lot, but he was just gone all the time.
Meeting new friends.
Yeah, busy, busy.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. It's destroying athlete, creator, and YouTube maxer. YouTube Premium enhances how I use YouTube with awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite training videos before I hit the gym. So no Wi-Fi doesn't turn leg day into loading day. Plus, I get ad-free videos, background play, and so much more. YouTube Premium is like YouTube got some extra gains. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Hailey Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium.
So try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime. That's a mouthful.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Can you walk us through everything that happened the night that it all changed? What do you remember about that evening before the phone call, when you got the phone call, and all your next steps?
I was the one that got the phone call late at night. I had gone to bed about 10:30, and I think in around, about 11:30, 12, I heard a ruckus outside of the my room. Even with the air conditioning going on, it was fairly loud. The ruckus was fair over top of that, too, for loudness. So I get up and finally looked out the curtains and looked down towards the disco. And that was probably about 300, 350 feet away. But I just happened to see a guy pushing another guy on the shoulders and that, trying to get him to walk down the sidewalk. And I thought, well, that's odd. I says, but it looks pretty good because he seems to be drunk and he's trying to get him to go home. Anyway, I closed the curtains and went back to bed. And probably about 5 to 7 minutes later than that, the phone rang in my room. So I answered the phone, and it was the manager of the hotel, and suggested that I better come down towards the discotheque and that, to see that, that Jordan was in an altercation with somebody and it was hurt. So I said, okay. And then I went down below us and got Carrie in the room down below us and with her mother. And their mother stayed in the room, but Carrie came, and then we both went up to the manager's office and that. And that's when we found out that Jordan had an altercation with somebody. And
Russ, they drove us to the clinic, yes, right away.
And, they drove us to the clinic in the golf cart and the clinic and that. When we went to the clinic, he was on the gurney. He was non-responsive. But they decided the ambulance was on its way. So when it got there, they put Jordan in the ambulance, and Carrie rode in the back with him, and I rode in the front with the driver, and he went to the hospital. We were there probably 15 to 20 minutes, and then they let us coming to see Jordan, but he had already passed.
They tried to revive him, but the doctor came out and said that he was gone. But when I seen him at the clinic, I think he was already gone.
Yeah.
We didn't know the extent of the damage, though, or what happened to him personally, but it was late. There was all kinds of people all around the clinic, and it was really commotional. I'm kind of blank on it. I know it started raining really hard, and security was at the clinic doors, and people wanted to know what was going on. It was just so busy. And I remember getting into the back, and I told the driver, I said, pump him, pump him, don't let him die. And he tried to work on him, because I don't think the EMS drivers knew the extent of what happened either. So when we got to the hospital, they said, well, you know, we'll be a few minutes. And then the doctor came out and said that he was gone. So that's where our nightmares started.
That's right. And then they brought us back to the...
Well, they said Canadian Embassy was coming.
Yeah, Canadian Embassy was coming.
But I don't really recall a lot at that moment, because that's when your body kind of goes into a shutdown shock mode, you know. We did go back to the resort. Sorry. We heard that the airport, everything was shut down, that nobody could leave, that they had five guys apparently under arrest with police. I don't even remember seeing much of Canadian Embassy at all that night. And then it got to be about 2 or 3 in the morning, and we were taken with, I think it was our flight. I forget the name of them, but that you can call if you have problems. they came to the resort and they took us to the court building. I mean, and this is all in Spanish. You know, your body's just going with the flow of things. And when we got to the courts, which was a good half an hour or more away, it was like 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
One of the girls that Jordan had met, she had gone with us. So we go in this court building, all of a sudden these five guys came. They were all tied together.
Handcuffed together.
With jail guards and stuff. And they took us into a courtroom and a judge came out, but it was all in Spanish.
And we didn't have an interpreter at all. We didn't know what they were saying.
Then we went back to the resort and it was already into the next day. So we ended up starting to phone family and let them know what was going on. It was just a moment-to-moment thing. We didn't know what to do. Nobody really told us what to do. Canadian Embassy, well, they were there, but as far as I'm concerned, they weren't really there. They were also worried about finding lawyers for the accused. They were busy finding lawyers, I guess, for the five guys. Yeah. But I couldn't even explain what happened in the court that night because it was all in Spanish. So we were pretty lost. We just went with the flow and putting our trust in them because we didn't know any difference.
Yeah, they took him from the court after that and they arrested him and took him to jail. We didn't know too much until the next day or later on that day, I should say. But
After that, we just kind of heard that we had to go back to the courts or something, and we just wanted to go home. We just wanted to be on our own land and with family and stuff with this. So we left a day earlier. I think there was a flight of a group of people, and they said that we could go home with them on their flight. So I think it was a day early we left.
Yeah, it was a day early. Yeah.
But that was hard because we had to leave Jordan there because it was a homicide investigation. Yeah, so we flew home and leaving his body there. It was really hard that way.
Yeah. He was there for 5 or 6 days because we didn't know how to get him back, and he wanted money, the full amount of cash. It was $6,000 or $7,000 to have his body flew back to Toronto. So we came up with the money for that, and the coroner's office in Ontario asked us for permission to have his body taken down, forensics down to Toronto, and to have an autopsy done there as well. They found out a few other things that was going on there, and they gave us a call a couple of days later and suggested that he had his neck broken, then he was stomped on very heavily by people, a couple of people or whoever it was that did it. One of those guys stomped on him. He had broken his neck in the place where it, back of his neck, when that happens, it stops your heart and your breathing immediately. So he couldn't be revived because of that fact. Yeah, that was very sad situation.
In those first couple of days, what did you learn about the altercation and the men that were arrested? Were they telling you anything?
Not really, no. So we came home and it was just a fog to me, really. That we kind of were left on our own, and then we got a call from an employee in the government saying that if we don't show up for court in 2 days or something like that, that they'll throw it out. They'll throw the case out. So we ended up, I was on the computer all the time trying to find somebody to help us and lawyers and stuff like that, because you're talking about a third world country to Canada. You know, it's a big break there, and the language barrier was really hard. It went from there. We ended up going back to the Dominican, I think, 20-some times overall.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'd go to court and it would be remanded. Wow. We weren't even there 15 minutes.
Well, the first or second court case, I said to Carrie, I said, well, it's unusual. They never even mentioned Jordan Patrick Morse's name. And all the time we're in those two court cases. That was unusual. And then we found out that he really wasn't being represented there because what they needed his birth certificate. And we didn't have the birth certificate. So when we back
we had to prove that we were the parents.
We had to prove that we were Jordan's parents, which was odd, very odd. We had to go back in the following week, but we had to rush and get pushed through for a birth certificate for him. That cost us $750 and had to send it down by courier before the court date because they were going to cancel it if we didn't get it by then. It was very, very strange, and that's what was going on there. There were three judges during the trials. We hired a lawyer down there, which took us for a bunch of money, and didn't really represent Jordan and or us in the case. So we fired him, and we hired a couple more lawyers. We gave them a bunch of money too to represent us, and pretty well the same thing happened. They did a few things, but there was no representation. And the Canadian embassy girls that were supposed to be there were there. But they were just young girls, and they seemed to be immature for the job because they wouldn't feed us the information what we needed, what was going on with the case and that, with the feedback.
And every time we went to court, it was all in Spanish.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a clue what anybody was saying.
They made sure that we got a translator. So we got a translator eventually, and he translated what he could with the court cases. The kids went on trials. The gang leader of the five kind of took the onus on himself to said that, oh, he caused it, and he did everything. When he was on trial there and the stand, he came up with three different versions of what happened, separate different versions, which didn't make any sense. The true person that broke Jordan's neck, from what we've heard, a witness said that another one came up from behind him and karate chopped him on his head, on the back of his neck, drop kicked him when he was sitting down. There's this place outside the disco. There's a little wall there, a short wall they sit on, and he was sitting there having a cigarette, and one of them snuck up behind him, broke his neck, and then that's how it took place, from what we've heard. So,
but yeah, every time we went, it was all in Spanish. We really didn't get much assistance from anybody that was supposed to be there to help us. They ended up letting two of them go because they were not there at the moment. And then finally, the one stayed in the prison for the 2 years that we traveled back and forth. And then at the end, I gave a victim's impact statement, and they let the other guy go because he learned English and he did well in prison. So we walked away with nothing.
We spent thousands of dollars for witness statements in English and Spanish and what happened. And we had all kinds of witnesses that said what I don't even think the court, the judges read it.
No.
They never commented on it, never mentioned it. It was just, it seemed to be in the favor of the perpetrators all along. These guys are like around Jordan's age, around 19 or 20 or 21.
I think we learned a lot more of what happened that night after it was over.
Yeah, yeah.
More than when we were involved in the court.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Haley Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Try it now for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium.
It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What was the story that the perpetrators told? Did they say it was an accident? Did they say there was an issue?
Well, there was quite a few stories. What we heard on the radio and from the news media was that Jordan got into an altercation with a few people at the disco, and that there was bottles broken and
like a bar fight. So the guys did admit that they got into a fight with Jordan, but they didn't mean to kill him.
But they did. But they made that up because he was outside when it took place.
Well, we found out afterwards that there was other issues with the same group of guys with our son that week.
Yeah,
we didn't know about it. Our son didn't tell us, but some of the girls were harassed. They were supposed to bring charges, but they didn't want to go off the resort and go through the courts with police and all that with these guys. And they were supposed to remove them off the resort, but they never did.
They were trouble since they got to resort. The second day they were there, they took all their furniture and threw it off the second floor balcony onto the lawn. During that week of Jordan's murder, the Wednesday, I believe it was, that we were told that Jordan was with a young girl. They were walking along the sidewalk, and a couple of them were walking down. These perpetrators were walking along the sidewalk, come to them, and I guess they got in an argument somehow, and he ended up punching the girl in the face. Some friends that were at the disco that Jordan met, older friends from Toronto, they seen it, and they confronted, they went with Jordan and up to the manager's office and complained what happened to the young lady. They said, "Oh, don't worry about it. Then we'll make these people go to another resort or kick them off the resort." And that was on the Wednesday. Well, we didn't know anything about it at that time, but until afterwards. But they didn't follow up on their promise. And then the Friday morning or late Friday was when Jordan was murdered by the same people. So, they didn't follow up through it. If they had to follow through with it, then Jordan would be alive today. With the media, with the fight and that, it was all emphasized that there was a bar fight. There was no bar fight at all. The girl got spit on by one of these people, perpetrators, in the disco, and she didn't like it. And Jordan seen that, and Jordan just commented, apparently said, "You don't spit on anybody, especially a woman." And that's when they get into an altercation in there. And then the young lady said, "Well, don't worry, Jordan. Just settle down. Go on outside and have a cigarette." So that's exactly what he did. And then that's when the perpetrators followed him out and then come around and broke his neck and killed him. But they were trouble since the time and one of them was wanted on a warrant in Montreal because that's where they were from. And that's why they were down in Dominican to get away from the warrant arrest. Also, there's no extradition with Canada as far as extradition papers go. So there's only so much they would do. But these people were trouble from day one.
What else did you learn about who these men were?
We didn't know anything
before.
We didn't
know anything about them. We just heard all this afterwards. Our son never mentioned a thing to us.
No.
He just carried on our time there when they were there. I think if we had known, we probably would have stepped forward and tried to solve this situation before it did get out of hand, which it did, but it is what it is.
I think any teenager on vacation would not foresee something like this. You would never think ahead like that, especially as a teenager, but even as an adult, you're never going to see something like that coming.
No. We got so many people that had messaged us afterwards of what they seen, who knew Jordan. I had adult parents message me about Jordan, how they met him, and just
gentleman.
Yeah, he was just
kind
such
a very polite gentleman.
Yeah, very nice person, and how these people could get away with this and how the resort dealt with it.
And another thing, when we went to court, there's three judges every time. During one of the court sessions, the third or fourth court session, there was one of the judges sleeping on duty. Like I say, with the interpreter and that, we only got some information from it, and a lot of information was missing. But our son was not represented properly, and being a third world country,
The language barrier
is the biggest thing, yes. You know, these kids were taunting us, too. When they went in the courtroom, they would parade them past us and put them in the bench beside us, about 8 feet away, which was wrong, too. They were taunting us with facial expressions and that, and fingers and this and that. Yeah, they're just bad people all the way around.
It really sounds like you were failed on so many levels by the resort, by the police, by the embassy, in every direction.
Yeah, we were totally, big time.
And on top of that, they made us go to court 19 or 20 times. Everything went against Jordan. They lied so much in court, and with us not knowing what was going on with the translator and that too much, we were confused most of the time. So we thought we were getting some justice, but we're getting no justice. And for a son, I used to go to court in between the weeks that I wasn't working. And when I got back to work, people were inquiring, well, how'd you make out what was said? And I couldn't tell them anything because there was nothing said towards Jordan and no justice at all. It was just ridiculous. It was a kangaroo court. That's what it was.
We kept getting the money and putting it out there for the lawyers, like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, because we just said, well, we'll go for broke to get the justice for our son. And they're out walking today.
Yeah, that's right.
The justice system there, it's very intimidating, too, to be in the courtroom there. The accused don't go sit in a box like they do in our courts. They sit in the crowd with you, beside you, behind you, wherever. And they're not tied together. They're not being watched. And then you've got two different sets of uniforms, and they're carrying big guns. And, you know, it's very overwhelming, very intimidating. And yet it seemed like it was a good time for these guys. We always upheld, you know, as respected Canadians and minded our business and didn't say anything. But I'm sure a lot of parents might have jumped those few benches a few times, maybe to at them. But
I felt like getting up a few times to the bench. I'm not kidding you. I had to hold myself back. And I respected for the judges in the court system to do the right thing. But they did not do anything that was right. It was just pathetic. These guys created... They're from Montreal, and they created troubles there, too. That one was wanted on a bench warrant for breaking into a kiosk and trying to get the money machine. And that's why he fled the country. Apparently, that's what they've been told.
Well, that's why he took the blame for our son's murder, is because he knew he was on a Canada warrant. And so he wanted to stay back. So the guy that actually did the hit that killed Jordan, he got released halfway through or something like that. He wasn't in the prison very long. Yeah.
A number of months.
Yeah. Down. So just the one ended up staying there for a couple of years and then he's free. But we just heard that he's back in jail because he was involved in a very serious high crime thing that took place just recently.
A few times when they're in the paddy wagon going by us as they're walking down the side, they were putting their finger up and yelling out the windows, cursing at us. I don't know how the guards allowed them to even do that to us. It was just ridiculous. And they would go out for a cigarette on the balcony and they could walk right by us, just going out for a cigarette. Those guys, there was no proper way of doing advocacy for the people that went through it. They were allowed to even walk around us. It's just ridiculous how the courts there. Like I say, it was a kangaroo court system.
Was there any way to put them through the court system in Canada since you're both Canadian? Was that ever looked at?
No, because it had to take place. It happened on Dominican soil, so the court had to happen there.
And there's no extradition treaty with Canada, so you're at odds with it. Canada couldn't send somebody down there and pick them up and take them back. And we're at the mercy of the court system down there, which, like I said, it was a kangaroo court system.
I found that the people there are really cold to begin with. And I just don't think they wanted to be bothered with us Canadians and the advertisement that they would get from certain media people. I think they just wanted to have this go away. And the lawyers more or less seen us as money machines to feed their bank accounts, because I would message the one and he wouldn't even answer me half the time. And I wanted the pictures that apparently were handed over to the first lawyer, and he won't answer me. He might if I offered lots of dollar signs with it, but no. And Canadian Embassy, I contacted them after to see if they could get them and stuff, but they weren't a lot of help personally, per se, because they were more worried about getting help for those guys. Because, like, let's face it, all Canadians, when you go down there, whether you're good or bad, you still have a right to your rights. And I get that. But, I mean, for somebody that what we were going through, I had to come back to Canada and I had to look and pay out our money for translators in our area, anybody that spoke Spanish that could read the court papers and stuff like that. We had to pay for the court papers, everything. And then I heard that these guys got assistance down there for their lawyers. You know, it's not like you think when something happens and you take somebody to court and you're going to hope for the best to come out, because it just don't work that way down there. It really isn't. It was a real eye-opener how we were treated.
It seemed to be all about the tourism, because they're voting in a new president at the time down there. And it was all about the tourism, how it's so great and wonderful, and the resorts are family-orientated. And it just wasn't that way. Even our resort was family-oriented, and there was prostitutes walking around amongst them, because prostitution there is legal. But, I mean, that's not on a family resort when that's happening. Things like that we didn't like. But I think it was all about the tourism. It didn't matter what happened to our son. It was all about the tourism and the blow it would take because of this.
Well, I guess the resort had right away too.
Oh yes. And on top of that, about 6 or 8 months went past, and then they decided to change the name of the resort. And you know what they changed the name to? Was Memories. That was what they named it, Memories.
That was kind of a hit.
Yeah, that was a hit on us. But we didn't recoup any of our monies, anything either.
It's just such a lack of communication, respect.
I said to my wife there, I said, you know what? We're fortunate that we had the money to prove, to go to court and to pay the fees and that. But what would happen to somebody that couldn't afford it? We didn't recoup any of the money at all. Nothing for our son and his death or anything. It was just, everything was against us. Every fact.
And every time we hear another story about something happening to somebody down there, we're just kind of like, I hope the best for them because we sure didn't get it.
And to this day, my wife and I, there's not a day that goes by that we don't think of Jordan or look at his picture and say something to ourselves. As soon as that incident happened with our son, you go into a fog where your brain recovers what's happening and so that you won't suffer. And both of us suffered from PTSD for years afterwards. And we had to get help with it, but we still suffer from it. But time does heal a little bit. That's how it goes. It's just ridiculous. It should never have taken place to begin with.
Well, injustice was definitely not served in any way.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. It's destroying athlete, creator, and YouTube maxer. YouTube Premium enhances how I use YouTube with awesome features like offline downloads so I can download my favorite training videos before I hit the gym. So no Wi-Fi doesn't turn leg day into loading day. Plus, I get ad-free videos, background play, and so much more. YouTube Premium is like YouTube got some extra gains. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Haley Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. So try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime. That's a mouthful.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You had mentioned something that you called Jordan's Law about changing what happens to families who experience something like this abroad. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
After experiencing this, and I don't think when we came back from the resort, there was never really any time to really mourn the loss of my son. It was like I had to come back and I had to look up everything for us just to fight for the justice. And when I call Jordan's Law, it's to me, I think when something like this takes place with family, especially with children involved, I should be able to come back and call a number or have this number call me and advocate for me, help me out. Like I say, I was on my own to find the justice. I had to find lawyers. I had to find translators and trying to mourn the loss of my son, take him really what happened to my son, and also plan his funeral for when his body got back home. So if I had an advocate of some sort doing all that work for me, I could have maybe mourned the loss of my son like I should have been able to do. And I wasn't able to do that because if I didn't stay focused on that part, then I don't think we would have even gotten this far with these people. Maybe no, but everybody would have just walked for sure. We were hoping for a better outcome, yes. But now we know that when something like that happens down there, you know, you can't really count on it all. But I think if we had something, I want to call it Jordan's Law, is when something like this happens, they pull out the book for Jordan's Law. And this is the steps that we follow. And an advocate steps in and helps these family out. Family should not have to deal with the justice and all the arrangements and then still plan for family funeral. I don't think that should have to be. And to this day, I really don't think I have mourned the loss of Jordan because I went into such a mode of a business mode to fight for the justice of our son.
And for them to send us make us go back to the court system 19 to 20 times. That was just wrong, and not have an outcome that like that for us, a proper outcome.
Yes, there's Canadian Embassy, but Canadian Embassy people can't get involved on the legal aspect of it. And they don't work holidays down there. And we had to go a few times when it was a long weekend or something here. Well, they don't work. They're shut down. Well, we went down there and I needed their help and I couldn't get through. It's because the office is closed. So I would say to certain people in the government, well, why are we paying for Canadian Embassy to live down there when they can't help intervene in the situation that you're in? Why are they there then? So if there was a Jordan's Law with an advocate standing by, if the government's paying for them to be down there, then why don't we get more trained people that can help people like ourselves with what we were involved in?
You're absolutely right.
The language barrier was one of the biggest
language
ones. People don't realize that things like that can happen, so they don't worry about things like that to happen. But it's a big surprise when it does, believe me. But there's no justice for Jordan at all, as far as I'm concerned.
No.
These kids were cold and calculating. That's what they were. And they didn't care about anything. They were creating havoc all week long. And we didn't know anything about it. Hadn't I known, I would have stepped forward and did something. I had no idea. And Jordan didn't want to bother his parents. They're on vacation because he didn't want us to know what was going on, I guess. Had I known, I would have did something about it.
I think you were left in the dark on so many levels of this. And it's a shocking thing anyway. You don't expect anything like this to happen on vacation. When people hear this story, we want them to remember Jordan, not just for what happened to him, but, you know, for who he was. And one of the reasons you're sharing is to help other travelers. What do you want people to understand about traveling abroad that maybe you didn't know before this happened, or that can help somebody else out there before they get into a situation like this? Obviously, there's no prevention that you can do. This is something that happened because you were left in the dark, because you didn't have proper communication. But is there anything you can tell other people that could maybe help?
I really think you have to really watch yourself when you go down there. Like I always say, people say, how can you go back down there? Well, it wasn't the Dominican people on the resort that did this. It was our own people that did this. So having something against the Dominican, no, I don't personally that way. The memories are there. Yes, they'll always will be there when we go. But I think if I had to do this again, or if another family member ever got involved in something like this, it happened a tragedy, I would probably suggest that you seek a lawyer that has out-of-country knowledge of the law and stuff, because we put our trust in two lawyers, and one went on about how he was holy and the religion and all this, but it wasn't that. So you can't trust the people down there. It's something where I think you have to start searching from home and finding somebody that you can trust, because it was more about the money than it was to help us.
Tourism.
Yeah, it was more about the money from the lawyers than it was to really, truly help us get the people that did this.
Those lawyers were on the take with us, and they took thousands away from us.
And
we thought we were being represented, and we were not being represented properly. And Jordan wasn't being represented.
And I think that's where the government needs to step in. And maybe, I don't know if they have, but like I say, Canadian Embassy can't get involved in the legal end of things. So maybe that's where I say Jordan's Law should change that. But I tried several different ways. We went to victims sessions and stuff in Ottawa. I didn't get anywhere. And then I had to take a break because it was just mentally beating me up trying to get some advice on this.
Victims, right?
And then, and then years went on and here we are.
15 years later.
I think it's important to keep talking about it and to keep talking about Jordan and not just about what happened to him, but about who he is and what people can learn from this. What do you think that he'd want people to take away from this story?
Well, Jordan was a good-hearted person and didn't create any havoc with anybody. He just wanted to get along with people and meet new friends and fit in.
He was having the time of his life. That's right. And if these hassles hadn't have come along, he would have come home with
memories.
We didn't even have a chance to ask Jordan how he was enjoying his trip. We didn't even get that chance. You know, they took it away from us. I think Jordan would want people to know that he was enjoying himself. He met so many people that I didn't even know that he had met that till after.
He's a loving, caring person.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. He liked everybody.
Yeah.
And didn't have a problem with anybody.
No.
Until this happened in his life.
And we've learned too not to judge a story when we hear it right away because we know the media really messed ours up.
Media puts a spin on everything.
Yeah.
It did with Jordan's story also. Yeah. It was far from the truth what happened to him. And until we got the witnesses' statements that to find out exactly what happened, there was quite a twist on it with the media.
Yeah.
But you can't trust the media. Jordan, just a loving, caring person. And lots of people have said so. He was the type of person, didn't want any altercations to any problems in life. He just wanted to get along with everybody. And that was young kids, older people, and people his own age. He was just a loving, caring person. When we were there, the first few days, we went up in the mountains and that to show the little villages and the schools and that. And he'd give all the kids candies and stuff. You'd hardly wait to give them flags, canned up flags. And that's the type of person he was. He just liked everybody, and it didn't matter who it was.
He really sounds amazing. Sounds like such an amazing person, an amazing son, and I know he's extremely missed. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and to tell his story, and not only the story, but to talk about who he was, because I think that's a really important takeaway to be able to learn and help other people is to remember who Jordan was, that he was such a great guy and that he loved everyone, that he made so many friends.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I had a lot of people that met him at the resort that didn't know him before he even showed up at his funeral and his visitation and stuff. It was very nice.
There was over 700 people at his funeral.
Yeah, they had to move it. Yeah, to a bigger church.
But so many people were consumed with going to see his funeral and that be there.
Yeah.
To show support.
It was overwhelming that way.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. And I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you pouring your heart out the way that you have. I know how hard it is. And actually, I can't imagine how hard it is. I think it's got to be unbearable to deal with and go through what you've gone through.
No, thank you for your podcast, and nice to meet you.
There's a moment in every parent's life when you realize your children are out in the world on their own, exploring, traveling, meeting new people, building a life that stretches beyond you. For Carrie and Dale, Jordan was doing exactly that. He was the kind of person who made friends easily, the kind of young man who could walk into a room or onto a resort thousands of miles from home and leave with new stories and new connections. That's how Carrie and Dale remember their son. Not as a headline, not as a case file, but as Jordan, a son who was loved, a young man who had his whole life in front of him. For Carrie and Dale, sharing this story isn't easy. Every retelling means walking back through the hardest moments of their lives. But they continue to speak because they don't want Jordan's story to disappear into the background of another travel tragedy. They want people to remember him. And they want travelers to understand something most of us don't think about when we board a plane for vacation. That when something goes wrong far from home, justice can become complicated, slow, and sometimes painfully out of reach. So if you're listening today, take a moment to hold Jordan in your thoughts. Talk about his story. Share this episode. help keep his name and his story alive. Because sometimes the only justice a family can still fight for is to make sure their loved one is never forgotten. And tonight, Jordan Morrison is remembered. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.